Hello, my baby witches. I hope everybody had a wonderful Valentine's Day. I had a wonderful Valentine's Day. My spouse and I went to an art exhibit that was an outdoor art exhibit called North Forest Lights at Crystal Bridges. It was magical. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And if that exhibit or an exhibit like it comes to your area, I would highly suggest it. It was amazing. It was lights and music in the forest at night, and it was just incredible. I had a really good evening, and I hope you all did too. Valentine's Day, of course, like every holiday that's secular or Christian, has some pagan roots. And the roots with that one is Greek god of fertility was celebrated. There was a festival in February for Lupercalia. That's the Greek god of fertility. And then, of course, comes from, or is associated with Eros, the Greek god of love. So that's where Cupid's roots are.
Okay, so starting February 16th through March 9th, Mercury will be in retrograde. What does this mean? Retrograde comes from Latin retrogradus, which just means backward step. During this time, the planets appear to be going backward in their orbit. And as you know, Earth has its orbit around the sun. Planets all have their orbit around the sun. Our orbits aren't all in sync. They're not the same. And so sometimes as other planets are making their orbit, there's an illusion that it's going backwards. And so this happens with Mercury in retrograde. So like the Greek messenger god that it was named for, Mercury is said to govern transportation and communication. So when Mercury appears to be going backwards, its power to positively influence these domains is stifled, and it can lead to chaos. So arguments, miscommunications, be careful and seek clarification before you overreact to anything. If you're going to travel, consider extra care or extra steps to not lose your luggage. Make sure to keep up on all your vehicle maintenance during this time. That's travel, communication. Those are the things that are typically considered, or when they go awry, Mercury in retrograde is blamed for that. So, some crystals that will help protect during retrograde. Aquamarine. Aquamarine provides emotional and intellectual stability. Carry it to provide a protective layer around your energy field. Rose quartz. Love rose quartz. It's one of my favorites. Keeps your heart open to love, and it is the most powerful energy love is. So carrying or wearing rose quartz will keep you flooded with healing, positive energy. Blue lace agate, gentle, it's calming stone. So you could carry that to help kind of push away those bad vibes of retrograde. Turquoise teaches you to speak your truth. It can help you summon the courage to speak your truth without any fear. It can also absorb harmful vibrations. Selenite, everybody loves selenite. Selenite can cleanse your aura. We use selenite to cleanse all our other stones. A lot of people have a selenite plate that they place all their other stones on for cleansing. Or what I have is a glass container with pink Himalayan salt in it for its base, and then a selenite that I kind of put standing in the center, and I will lay all my stones around it for cleansing. Hematite gets rid of everything dark. It absorbs toxic elements. Many wear hematite rings. Hematite is fragile, and so they can break. And so it's said when and if you wear a hematite ring or any kind of hematite, if it breaks, that means that it served its purpose. That means that it has just protected you from harm. So thank it and get a new one. Amethyst. Amethyst is protective. Love amethyst. So those are some stones or crystals to hang on to during retrograde to try and keep you from having any of this chaos, bad luck that occurs. And that's February 16th through March 9th, okay? How about an herb? Time for an herb. I chose elderberry to talk about today because I love elderberry. Elderberry comes from the elder tree. It is high in vitamin C, vitamin A, iron, calcium, and potassium. It helps to boost the immune system, and it combats the flu. People say that it helps to combat the flu. I take elderberry daily, and that's kind of what they say is best, to use it as a daily immune boost. I'm sure that if you take it free, I have heard syrups, tinctures, that once you start to feel like you're getting sick, if you take it multiple times a day, like it'll start to combat and you'll start to feel better. I take elderberry twice a day, morning and night, during the, you know, cold and flu season time, to just give myself some extra armor, basically, so that hopefully I don't get sick to begin with. That's my goal. So, some more magical stuff about elderberry, since we just touched on the medicinal parts. Also, there's an elderberry syrup. You can find lots of recipes online for it. I don't know how I would use it in any kind of culinary thing, though. I've never cooked with elderberry, though I have seen recipes for syrups that you could pour over your pancakes. And they look and sound delightful. If anybody tries that, let me know. So it's said that if you plant elder outside the house, that it'll deflect any hostile magic. The thing is that elder needs to be outside the house, not inside. If you bring elder and plant it in the house, that's not considered good. There's some old folklore that baby cribs that were made out of elder wood, that the tree spirit would be angry and your baby would cry a lot in that crib. They said that the tree spirit would pinch the baby. They also say that bringing that elder into the house is just not, it's not good luck. It actually has the opposite effect. People used to use elder as fasteners to fasten a door or window shut, but from the outside, again, they said that would keep the fae out. Let's see. They also said that some folklore was that sleeping under an elder tree could cause madness. So it's kind of believed that the elder tree was really important to druids, and it was kind of believed to be a gateway and a portal to the other world. So the folklore was that sleeping under an elder tree was bad news. It could cause some madness. I'm going to go ahead and share a ritual that I found from a Sage app. I have an app on my phone called Sage. I think it's great. If you download it, you might find it pretty beneficial. You may enjoy it. But I found it typically has some astrology for the day, a ritual for the day, lots of just, you know, interesting little things that are quick reads that kind of help you with your day, ways to incorporate your belief system into your everyday life, because that's what it's all about, right? Trying to make everyday life better. So this is a rose quartz self-love bath. Self-care is important, especially during retrograde. So what you'll need is 3 pieces of rose quartz, 1/8 cup of Himalayan salt, and some rose petals in a cotton bag or a tea bag. And then optional is candles and music. For me, that's not optional. That's necessary. For others, that may be optional. So what you'll do is you're going to draw your bath. You'll add the salt. Place 2 pieces of the rose quartz in the tub near your feet. And place the 3rd on your chest over your heart. And you'll want to repeat these words. Excuse me. I am beautiful inside and out. I am loved by those who matter, including myself. Again, that's I am beautiful inside and out. I am loved by those who matter, including myself. And you'll say that until you feel that. Okay? Our next lunar event is the new moon, and that'll be February 23rd. I'll kind of talk some more about that in the next episode. And now, as promised, our next seasonal celebration is the spring equinox, or Ostara. That's March 19th through the 22nd. So Ostara means light of the earth. It is the second of third spring holidays. The first was Imbolc, and the third will be Beltane. So during this time, the goddess is coming to full power in her maiden aspect. For Ostara, consider decorating your altar with fresh flowers, a young small potted plant. When you choose those flowers, if you have a particular deity goddess that you have an affinity to or that you work with a lot, or maybe you've selected just that one to be your patron goddess, I always suggest to look them up and see what their flower preferences are, or what their offering preferences are, and put those at your altar. And that's a way to, because you will notice that a lot of times the different sabbats may be associated with a more specific god or goddess. I tend to look at them just as being more about that time of the seasons, that time of year. And I find ways to incorporate the deities that I work with onto my altar. Some people are very polytheistic, and they will just, whatever, you know, god or goddess they've read about, that's what they'll set at their altar. I believe in these deities, and so, you know, while I respect all, I try to just incorporate things that are going to be reflective or appeal to the particular deities that I work with out of respect for them, and love for them, and to incorporate them again into all my celebrations. I don't like to just openly start conversations with deities that I don't know anything about. So, because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. So that's what I would suggest you do, is if you've got a deity that you specifically work with a lot, or that you consider to be your patron goddess, find out what flowers are associated with her and maybe put those at your altar. Some of the other things that you can do is use petals to make your sacred circle. Put images of hares and eggs, because, you know, it's all about fertility. And of course, yes, this is where Easter was taken from. I personally like to have my altar have offerings on it all the time, or have extra things on it that represent the current season we're in. I like for my altar to be something that has daily purpose. I have a sacred room. I'm fortunate in that sense. I have an extra room. And so that room is my sacred room. And in it, you will find my altar. You will find lots of my books and things that I do. And I'll go in there and, I'll light some incense or light a candle, and I may read my books, or I may meditate. And so in that room, I have kind of two altars. I've got my main altar, and then I have my ancestral altar as well. And so just being in that room kind of makes me feel good. And I like to, the same way that we decorate our house for all the different seasons, you know, decorate your altar for the different wheels of the year. It doesn't have to just be on that specific day. You know, we don't just pop a Christmas tree up on Christmas Day and take it down the day after, right? We spend that entire season celebrating that day. That's how I would suggest you approach the wheel of the year. So currently, you know, Imbolc is what we just celebrated. And so you'll find that my altar will still be reflective of that right up until just a few days before Ostara. Sorry, that's my dog. She rings a bell to go out and go potty. She's a very smart little dog. I have a toy poodle. And she's 2 years old. And she rings a little bell to go outside and potty. So I'm sorry for that disruption. Her name is Holly. And I love her dearly. So that's what I would suggest is to really, and you don't have to spend a ton of money. You don't have to go crazy. Things don't have to be trendy to decorate your altar. I want to, in another episode, go more into that. I'll try to do that in my next one, on the things that you should definitely probably have on your altar, and then the extra things that are great, and more affordable ways to do this stuff. So that's for another episode though. All right, babies, hopefully you have enjoyed this episode. Again, please feel free to email me at eclectickitchwitch. That's eclectickitchwitch@gmail.com. Yeah, that was probably a stupid email to get. It's really long, but I promise I will respond and have confidence that y'all are smart enough to get that one. So, and then you can follow on Facebook at The Eclectic Witch. So until next week, brightest blessings, babies. Okay, guys, so I thought about it and I thought I better give you a little something for the new moon because it's actually the 23rd, which is next Sunday. And I don't want to be a day late and a dollar short, as they say, right? I may touch on just new moon in general next week a little more on that episode, but I'm going to give you a little spell you can do for the new moon. It's especially with being in retrograde, safe travel. Now, I got this spell out of a moon spells book by Diane Alhurst, Ahlquist. It's a great little book. It almost reads kind of like a recipe. So for the kitchen witch in me, that is totally perfect. It's the way it's formatted. I really like it. It's like a recipe book, only it's a spell book. So safe travel. This spell takes 2 days or more, depending on the weather, and will be done in two parts. So what you need is a talisman, anything that's a charm or gemstone that means something that you can wear on a chain or your finger, something you're going to wear daily. You can use anything. So if you've got that hematite ring that we talked about, that would be perfect. If you've got a favorite necklace that you wear, that would be perfect. Can be anything. You'll need some candles. You'll need the element of water and a bowl, cup, or chalice that will hold your talisman. So what you'll do is you'll need 3 candles on the first day, a silver, gray, brown, and red. Set them in a row in front of you with the silver, gray to the left, brown in the middle, and red on the right. Okay, on the second day, you'll need a white candle set in front of you. All right, so you cast your circle once you feel protected. Face north and arrange your candles in front of you. And you do this on the new moon. This is a new moon waxing phase. So the first night you'll do is new moon. And then your second night will be in that waxing phase because we're currently in the waning phase. It's getting smaller and smaller. Waxing phase is getting bigger and bigger. So, and day one on the new moon, if you can't do this on the new moon, it's okay to just do it in the waxing phase. But talk about amazing if you can start it on the new moon and you have it in the waxing phase, right? So before you, you can light some sandalwood incense, cinnamon or lavender. And then before you start your spell, make sure you have no distractions. Turn your phones off if possible. Play that soothing music. Keep the lights dim. Wash your hands or shower before you begin. Light your incense. Gather everything you need and draw your formation. Ask your higher power to allow the information to flow through you. So on the first part, first cast your magic into your charm, thereby creating the talisman. So take your charm or gemstone and set it in the bowl. Pour the water over it so it's totally covered. Place your hand over this dish, but not touching it. With the palms down, say, the elements that created this water now charge this charm with your powers of protection. Okay, so now you can extinguish your candles, disperse the circle, and say, so all is done for now. Okay, so then set it in a windowsill or outside somewhere where it's going to get both sun and moonlight. And so this is kind of the important thing. You want it to get a good 24 hours of charging with sunlight and moonlight. So if day two is a cruddy, windy, cloudy, horrible day, that doesn't count. Okay, so these days, they don't have to be like one, two, boom. It can be, I did this on the new moon and I didn't get a nice day until 3 days later. You're still in that moon. You're still in the same moon phase. So you're good. That's day two. Okay. You just need to make sure that you're wanting to give it a good amount of sun and moonlight. So then the next day on that next day where you've gotten your, where you feel like it's been sufficiently charged by the sun and the moon, leave your talisman in the water. Cast your circle again. You do want to make sure you pick something that's going to be okay sitting in water, okay? You could check out your crystals and stones if that's what you're doing. Some of them should not go in water. Selenite should not go in water. So make sure you've got something that can be sitting in water like that, all right? So then the next, and just the thought, may be possible to put it in a little plastic baggie and submerge it in water if it's something that can't be in water. Personally, I feel like you can do those types of things. Someone else or the writer of the spell may disagree, but if you feel comfortable with that, then by all means, some people will say that water needs to truly touch that. I would probably be inclined to say that's fine. So I think it's more important if it be something that you're going to wear all the time. So light your candle. So on the day, on your day two, which remember doesn't have to specifically be consecutive day two, light that white candle, put your talisman in front of you, and leave it sitting in the water. Now recite the following incantation. Nature herself has blessed this peace. My safety sure, all fears released. I keep this amulet strong and clear. I travel safely throughout the year. Again, that's nature herself has blessed this peace. My safety sure, all fears released. I keep this amulet strong and clear. I travel safely throughout the year. Okay, and so then you're going to, that's going to be the end of that. Extinguish your candles, you know, so mote it be, blessed be, whatever your choice of closing is. And then that's it. Now your talisman is ready for wear and to protect you throughout Mercury being in retrograde. So yeah, I just wanted to add that real quick because I realized that my next episode will be up and the new moon will have probably already occurred. So this way you have a little something for that. Anyway, again, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please follow me on the Facebook page or reach out to me via email. Let me know if there's things that you want me to talk about. And until next time, brightest blessings.